Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is the Healthy Mind Radio Show. Here, we talk about our emotional health and well-being, about living the most authentic life we possibly can, the one we truly deserve. So take notice, our true strength and action are on the march, while our fears and self-doubt are on the run. Never doubt how truly powerful you are. Let's learn together, right here on The Healthy Mind. Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and it is March 6th, 2012. We are into March. I hope everybody is doing well. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. The website is always www.thehealthymind.com. I'm on Twitter. You can follow me there as well, at Dr. Zafiridis. And also, The Healthy Mind, as always, available on iTunes as well on the podcast. Well, how are you this week? First off, I just have to thank everybody so much. It has been a wonderful week. You've been listening to that interview that we did last week with Dr. Howard Schubiner. Really, it's been probably, I'd have to say it now, I think it has, in looking at Google Analytics, it is the most downloaded podcast since thehealthymind.com went live. So I really do appreciate that. I think this issue of stress, of emotion and pain is striking a chord. I've been getting some wonderful emails. Thank you so much for your letters of encouragement, your incredible letters of strength. You do have that power. And if you are new to the show, if this is the first time you're listening, well, first off, thank you and welcome. I'm glad you've made it. But if you have a chance, please listen to the February 28th podcast of The Healthy Mind, either on my website or through iTunes. It's with Dr. Howard Schubiner, and we talked about emotions and chronic pain. An incredibly powerful podcast and really talking about pain in a very new way. Really not new, but at least in a way that maybe people are hearing it for the first time. The fact that our emotions can cause pain. And it's so important for people to see that because, first off, it's real. But secondly, nobody talks about it. So if you are struggling in pain, and the doctors are saying, well, you know, this is all we can do. This is the best that we can do. Or we're not seeing anything. We can't understand why you're so much in pain. There may be something more there, and oftentimes there is. So, not that I want to visit that today, but I'm going to dovetail off of that to talk today about the impact of stress directly on our health. And that's where we're going to start the program. We have some really incredible health news. I hope you're able to stick around till the end. Please do so. Some really powerful news that you're going to want to know, not only for yourself, but also for your family. And we'll do the headlines, and hey, we'll call it a podcast, okay? All right. But today, continuing on some of the things we talked about last week with Dr. Schubiner. Now, I know you all have heard the news about Andrew Breitbart. He was a conservative columnist who was very, very controversial, but without a doubt was very, very hard-charging and investigative journalist. But ladies and gentlemen, last week on March 1st, after he left a restaurant, dropped dead of what they're calling natural causes, which means there probably wasn't any foul play involved, but dropped dead at age 43, walking back to his home. 43! And then, just a few months ago, we all know this story, Steve Jobs finally succumbed and passed away due to the cancer that he had at the young age of 56. Now, what is going on here? These are notable celebrities that are dying early, but we all have those examples in our own lives of friends or family that we have lost to a young age. What is going on here? We all know that stress itself isn't good for us. It's not healthy for us. It's bad on our body. It causes physical things to happen, right? Don't have too much stress. Your blood pressure will go up. Be careful of your stress level. You'll die early. And even though we see so many people dying early, unfortunately, like Andrew Breitbart and Steve Jobs, how much do we really, I mean really think, not just in passing, how much do we really think about the effect of stress? Let's say specifically to those two men, but stress in general in affecting our lives in that way. Literally stress killing us. What I'm not trying to say is the only reason that Andrew Breitbart is dead or Steve Jobs is dead is due to stress. But let me give you a context, okay? In his book, Walter Isaacson of Steve Jobs, the Steve Jobs biography, he had talked about how difficult it was at a very vulnerable time in Steve Jobs' life as he was trying to balance, at that time, one company and then also trying to get back involved in Apple. And he himself said that that was the most stressful time of his life. And even towards the end of his life, reflected back and thought it might have been the stress of that time that allowed for the cancer to take seed and ultimately cause his death. Steve Jobs himself said that in so many words. And now we have Andrew Breitbart at 43, dead. 43! There wasn't really a big heart history, at least from anything that I could tell. They mentioned in passing that he had had some heart problems, but not that it had impaired him in any way. I guess we're going to get more information about that in the future. But where I want to go today, just setting that up, is why or how does stress affect us to where it makes that physical change in our body? Why is it that there is this association with stress and painful emotion and heart attacks? Or painful emotions and stress and catching a cold or lowering your immune system? How does it do it? Why does it do it that way? And that's what I want to talk about today. And it's really impossible to say this is exactly why people get affected by stress. But the science is out there and it is growing. And what the science is showing is that our mood, our thoughts, our emotions, what we think and what we feel are going to have an impact on our health directly. And we're only just starting to understand that. Now, as we had talked about last week with Dr. Schubiner in that just specific topic, emotions, fear, anger will create physical pain. So I want to talk a little bit about at least what we know so far, some of the things that I tell my patients when we are talking about their level of anxiety, sadness, why they should either begin medications or stay on them. And it isn't just because I want them to feel good. Don't get me wrong, that's my main mission. I want people to feel better. That's why they come in for my help. But it isn't just about the emotional. We know that our mood, our mind, our feelings, our thoughts will impact our body physically too. So when I'm treating someone, my thought is we've got to get this mood under control. But I also think about the physical toll these emotions have on us. So what do we know? And using Breitbart as an example, if I could, and again, I'm not stating that I know the reason why Andrew Breitbart died. have no idea just yet. We will find out. But using his life and his circumstances as an example, not that this is fact, we'll find out. But if stress, his hard-charging lifestyle, had something to do with that heart attack, how did it happen? How did it go from, okay, he's a hard-charging investigative journalist, never sleeps, always going at it, balancing a million things at once, trying to do everything that he can, and boom, pow, heart attack, gone. Well, a couple things. If we look at what stress does to our body, at least in where the science is suggesting it is happening, is in the inflammatory system and in the immune system. And I bring up the immune system because we could see there, perhaps, where some of the mood, the stress, the anxiety that Steve Jobs was feeling way back when might have been just enough to lower his body's defenses to where something like cancer could take on. But what do we know? What do we know? And what I want people to understand is when we are stressed, when we get anxious, or when we're depressed, or any kind of anxiety, our nervous system fires up, right? The fight or flight system, the autonomic nervous system. And when that nervous system gets fired up, it's a whole chain of events. It isn't just neurons firing, but we get hormones released, and those will affect us and all different types of proteins and the like that change within our body and give us that emotional response. But because of that, it changes things in our body. Emotions do. They change things like inflammatory markers in our body. Our body is more reactive or inflammatory, if you will. Remember, we had Dr. Barry Sears on talking about the fish oils a few weeks ago, and he said one of the most important things that we have to control in our diet and through the supplements that we take is inflammation in our body. And why is it important to control inflammation? Well, because inflammation is at the heart of many of the major health disorders that are out there for us. Hypertension, heart disease, all of the like in some way are affected by inflammation, including even depression as some of the newer data is coming out. But how does stress affect a person to where they could potentially have a heart attack? How is that even possible? And again, I'm not claiming to have the answer, but the way that I try to frame this for people so that they can understand how important it is from a physical perspective to keep stress, anxiety, or mood under control is the following. Think about your blood vessels as pipes, okay? Blood is flowing around like it normally does. And all of us can picture that. But the blood is flowing everywhere. Now, all of us, just by how we were born and our family history, is going to have little differences, right, in the way that every part of our body looks and is set up, including our blood vessels. Now, let's picture, just for some reason, a bend in one of the arteries, okay? A bend, a normal turn as it's going through one part of the body to feed a muscle or to feed an organ or what have you. And let's say for some reason the way that it just happens to form for that individual is the blood just kind of has to move more roughly through that area because the bend is either too kinked or the bend is too tight. So the blood kind of eddies or pools right there for just a little bit of time. And then it moves along its way. It's just not smooth, let's say, in that particular area. So picture it like a rapids. It kind of just sloshes around there for a brief moment before it takes off. Okay? Now, at the same time, what is happening? Plaque is building on all of our vessels. Depending on the diet we eat or what have you, we can get a hardening of the arteries. Now, as blood is pooling around, if there is increased inflammation and you have a little nick in the blood vessel for whatever reason, whether it's plaque that's forming or what have you, a platelet, a little tiny blood cell, can attach. It attaches to that blood vessel, and over time, more attach to that area. Little blood cells attaching, until someday, perhaps 15, 20 years on down, it's turned into a little clot. And one day, pow, because of its size, pulls off of where it's anchored on the blood vessel and begins to float freely in our bloodstream. If it goes into our heart, it's a heart attack. If it goes into our brain, our head, it's a stroke. And this is how, at least, we understand some of the process of how and why heart attacks happen and strokes happen. Now, what does stress and anxiety and mood have to do with all of this? Well, same example, but now because of the effects of stress as it relates to the inflammatory system, stress can make the inflammation in our bodies increase. So we have more of a, maybe a higher level of baseline inflammation in our body, okay? The same situation is set up, but because of the inflammation, perhaps it causes that particular area of the blood vessel to be a little stickier, where blood cells can attach, so that the time that it takes to form a blood clot is shorter. And in that, it builds and builds and builds much faster than any other time. And maybe, the hardening of the arteries happens a bit more quickly because of the higher level of inflammation in our baseline because we're stressed or anxious or depressed. It speeds up the process. And instead of fast-forwarding decades into the future, or maybe never that clot lets go, it happens so much earlier. Or the hardening of the arteries happens so much earlier. Or because of that increased inflammation, arthritis, inflammatory bowel disease, asthma, and the like, happen so much sooner and impact our health. What I hope you are understanding, or at least beginning to see, is that the stress and anxiety that we have, particularly at its extreme, is not something to be avoided just because you want to be relaxed or feel more calm. But we know and are starting to learn even more about what those emotions do to our body physically. I'm not even talking about what the impact of depression and anxiety and stress is on our mental health. I'm talking just about physical stuff here, that we have to do all we can to control those levels of stress, to control those levels of anxiety and worry. We absolutely have to. Now let's go back to Andrew Breitbart or Steve Jobs. Andrew Breitbart, hard charging, rarely slept, at least that's what the reports say. Worked harder than even the top journalists that were out there in how aggressive he was. Clearly, that level of stress was probably unlike most out there, even the professionals. And now he is a person with some heart problems to begin with. No matter how minimal or maybe even insignificant they might have been in his day-to-day life, say, if he didn't have this kind of stress level. And we meaningfully change his physical body because of the level of stress. And because of the physical changes that were occurring because of his level of stress, emotion, anxiety, anger, could it have been that that set the stage for him to have a heart attack that led to a premature death? In the case of Steve Jobs, could the stress, the anxiety, the worry have been enough to lower the immune system for Steve Jobs? Where the body's natural defenses in another circumstance might have been able to heal and control that cancer from starting or progressing. We can never know for sure about that. But one thing we know for sure is that stress can be a killer physically. And it is only now, through changes in the inflammation system, in the immune system, that we're learning, can we even begin to put together a reason as to why the emotions affect the physical so much. It's so important for people to realize, because first off, one, you can change it. You can change it. This is where the power of what you think not only changes the way that you feel emotionally, but the power of how you think changes the way potentially that you feel physically. We've seen it, as Dr. Schubner explained it last week, in terms of how we change our thoughts and pain, physical pain, goes away. So it isn't too far of a stretch to understand how controlling our thoughts and emotions and relaxing and eliminating stress can affect other aspects of our body, our heart, our organs, our hormonal system. It isn't hard to understand that, and science is starting to put it together so we can say exactly how. But there's so much hope here, because you have the power to make those changes. Whatever it is in your life that is causing anxiety and stress, whether you change it and manage it by lifestyle changes, exercise, diet, relaxation, or if you feel you need to see someone for help, whether it's your primary care doctor or someone in the mental health profession, do it. It's important to think about it in that way, because notice, this entire discussion has had nothing to do with how treatment or relaxation or lifestyle change improves your emotional well-being. All I have talked about for the last 15 minutes has been about the effect of our thoughts and our feelings on our physical well-being. So this is why I charge as hard as I can to break down these walls of stigma as it relates to emotional illness and emotional health, because we don't have time to be thinking about what our family, our friends, our neighbors think about going to get help for our emotional well-being. Will they think I'm crazy? Will they think there's something wrong with me? It is stigma. It is vapor. We don't have the time. Our body is being affected regardless. There's no time for that, because the body doesn't care. If you're feeling anxious and worried, it's impacting your body right now. Now, whether you feel comfortable getting help or not doesn't change the fact that anxiety and worry and stress is going to impact your body. So take the time to think about this. Realize that it is so very important for you to manage your anxiety and stress. There are so many healthy ways to do it. We could go on for hours. But you know what's right for you, whether it's a particular type of exercise, yoga, meditation, or if it means something more with getting help professionally from someone. Take the time to figure it out. You'll be so happy you did, from an emotional point of view, and the confidence that you get from being able to change your life for the better. But your body, your heart, your immune system will thank you. And in that, you have the potential to live such a much better life. And that, my friends, is such an important step to take as we walk down our road to the healthy mind. And now, it's time for news. Okay, well, as always, another busy week in news. This first story was, actually all of these stories are pretty interesting, but this first one, the effect of stress. And we know that stress affects us, but how does it affect us in making decisions? The headline, How Stress Changes Our Ability to Make Decisions. So picture the scene. You're trying to make a huge decision, maybe about work or something, while at the same time you're getting a presentation ready that you're going to present in front of, let's say, 100 people, right? What do? Do you make that big decision while you're stressed? Hold on. Because feeling stress really can affect our decision making. It really changes the way that we look and evaluate risk and reward. And the stress itself is going to affect your decision making, right? No problem. Makes sense. Except it's not in the way that you think. In a new article published in the journal Current Directions of Psychological Science, it turns out that under stress, people pay more attention to the upside of a possible outcome. Yeah, you heard that right. The upside. We wouldn't think that, but according to Dr. Mara Mather of the University of Southern California, USC, who wrote the paper, she states, quote, "This is sort of not what people would think right off the bat. Stress is usually associated with negative experiences, so you'd think maybe I'm going to be more focused on the negative outcomes. But that isn't what happened. Researchers found in the studies that they did that when people are put under stress, they start paying more attention to the positive information, and they minimize the negative information that is there. According to Dr. Mather again, stress seems to help people learn from positive feedback and impairs their learning from negative feedback. Now, they went on to talk about maybe why this increased focus on the positive may explain why people have a hard time coming away from addictions. Because when they're under stress and they use, say, alcohol or drugs, they think about the positive effects, the high, or what have you from a drug, rather than the downsides. Now, what's interesting here is there's a difference between men and women. Big surprise, right? But there's a difference there between how stress affects men and women. When men are under stress, what do you think? Well, guys, when we're under stress, men are willing to take even more risks. As opposed to women who, when under stress, they tend to get more conservative about risk. And this is fairly consistent with other studies that found that during very stressful times, men, we tend to be inclined more towards fight or flight responses, get the heck out of there, while women try to bond more and improve their relationships. They've got us down to a science, guys. Hey, I just report the news, okay? Don't blame the messenger. Now, with the time that we have left, I just want to blast through the remainder of the news headlines in a segment that I like to call the Healthy Mind Headlines. Okay, the first headline. Depression could be an evolutionary byproduct of the immune system. Psychiatrists have proposed that genetic variations that promote depression arose during evolution because they helped our ancestors fight infection. That's just incredible. And I'm going to follow up on this next week on The Healthy Mind with more on this particular study. Okay, the next headline. Vitamin D shrinks fibroid tumors. Treatment with vitamin D reduced the size of uterine fibroids in laboratory rats predisposed to developing the benign tumor. This was according to researchers from the National Institutes of Health. And finally, the headline, "Does power cloud our ability to make good decisions?" Grave consequences can result from bad decisions made by people in leadership positions. A new USC study explains how power can fuel overconfidence, which negatively impacts decision making. I guess it's true when they say, don't let that power go to your head. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've done it again. You and I, we have made it to the end of yet another broadcast of The Healthy Mind. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I really do appreciate it. The website, as always, www.thehealthymind.com. Please make sure to visit it regularly. I update that just about every day. You can follow me on Twitter at Dr. Zafiridis. And if there's anything that you want to talk about, comments, criticisms, something you'd like to hear about, email me anytime. That's peter@thehealthymind.com. That's peter@thehealthymind.com. And for the Healthy Mind Podcast, part of the Healthy Mind Broadcasting Network, I'm your host, Dr. Peter Zafiridis. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll see you next time right here on the Healthy Mind.